Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The Bible says, as we see these days approaching, we should not forsake this gathering of the family of God. This is when we need to stay closer and let God keep speaking and training and preparing us together. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Amen. 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 God is good. Amen. Amen. We thank God for our worship team, and we thank God for what God is doing through the prophetic voices in our midst. Amen. Please take that word seriously. Amen. Tell somebody close to you, you're in the right place. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to ask you a question. Amen. How many of you understand the season we are in from what we've been sharing? What does Mount Zion, what do you understand this season of Mount Zion to be? Okay. Everybody say GPS. Okay, so we can move somewhere, amen. GPS. Okay. Somebody tell me, what does G mean? Glory. Okay. All right. Somebody else tell me, what does the P stand for? We know his position is position by faith. Faith is the key. Amen. Faith is that position we take. Without faith, by faith. Position by what? Faith. And then what does S stand for? Souls. Amen. So that's G, P, S. Now, how many categories of souls do we have? Saved and unsaved. We have some students here. Amen. Amen. Now, what is our focus for this season? Souls. Amen. Both saved and unsaved. Amen. Now, our focus is to move towards souls. Amen. And we're focusing on the saved, the unsaved. Now, what is our strategy for going after the unsaved? Everyone. Everyone bring one. Everyone. Wow, we have some real students here. Good. Amen. Everyone reach one. Everyone bring one. Everyone invite one. That's very good. Now, under everyone bring one, what are the three levels of our operation? International? No. Pray for one. Uh-huh. Care for one. And then share. Amen. Amen. It's called pray, care, share. And under that, we are both reaching out to both national, international, and city. Amen. You all have done really well. Amen. And everybody has a Mount Zion complimentary card now, isn't it? We have ordered more, and we're going to give out as many as you can take. Amen. If, you know, when you go to a buffet, everybody doesn't eat with the same capacity. So according to how you want to reach out, just let us know. We pass now the card to you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. We are in this season to think beyond ourselves and think of other people. Jesus gave a parable. He talks about a farmer. a husbandman, and he comes and is looking for fruit. And he comes again, there is no fruit. Comes again, there is no fruit. And the third time, he told the man, cut down the tree. And he says, no, give me time. Give me another time. Give me another year. Let me prune the tree. Let me put soil. Let me do what I can for this tree. If it doesn't produce, then you can cut it down. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. God wants us to be disciples who produce disciples. Amen. Yes. And that's the season we are in. Our focus is not to be on the broad way. Our focus is to be on the narrow way and to make disciples. Amen? Amen. It makes God happy. That's the food we feed him. So in line with that, we're trying to stay focused as God takes us in this journey of being a disciple. Amen? Of being a witness for Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So today, we're going to continue, but there's something the Lord put in my spirit that will help us keep our focus on being disciples. And today, the Lord really stirred my heart. And he deals with me first. And the word he gave to me today is the cross. Amen? Everybody said the cross. The cross. C-R-O-S-S. The cross. I did not discuss anything with the worship leader here, Daisy, when she sang that song. I did not discuss anything with her. So that's a confirmation that the Spirit of the Lord wants us to be very attentive to what God wants us to hear this morning about the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, as always, we're in the teaching season. I brought something. Amen.
Hide me behind the cross. Amen. If he falls, then we're going to blame Coca for this. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, good. Professor, thank you. Okay, let me. I wanted. All right. The cross. Amen. 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 As always, our creative media team are going to help us today. This is a season of just teaching a few things so that we all can be fully alert. So we're going to open to the book of 1 Corinthians 1:18. And she's going to help us. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I want to read it here from the screen. This is where I'll be reading from. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Amen. So them that perish foolishness, but for us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Amen. Amen. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I want us to open to Matthew 28. Thank you, Father. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Matthew 28:18. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all, everybody say all power is given unto who? Me. In heaven and where? In the earth. Everywhere. The thing God has created. There's a song that says, all power belongs to you alone. 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 Another one says, in heaven and in earth. It says, all power is given unto me, that Jesus, in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, this was the last statement Jesus made from the book of Matthew. The last statement he made in the book of Matthew. Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations. Make that word teach, make disciples of all, not some, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. This was his last words. All power belongs to me, and I'm sending you. Amen. Now, let's open to the book of Acts chapter 1. Something happened here. Acts chapter 1, there is a transition that now took place here. Everybody say transition. Transition. Jesus spoke to the disciples on this side and said, all power belongs to me, and I'm commissioning you. I'm calling you to go and disciple the nations, and I'll be with you. Then something happened here called the cross. After the cross, but before the cross, he told them again in the book of Luke, the same commandment. He says, go you in the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Amen? Now, after the cross, from this side, the cross. After the cross was the resurrection. And on this side is Acts chapter 1. After he has shown himself to all his disciples for 40 days, he was about now to ascend to heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, this is what he said. He said to them, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be my what? That's what disciples are. He says the purpose of this power is for you to be my witnesses. The purpose of the Holy Spirit that will come is, that will come upon us, is that we will be what? Witnesses. Unto me first begin in your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Amen? So, here, he has given them a commission, a commandment. There has to be a great commandment. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your flesh. And there has to be a great commission. So right here, this cross is the only thing. Until you experience this cross, you can't be a witness. But if you experience this cross, there's a power that comes with the experience that makes you a witness, that makes you a disciple. And Jesus says, anyone that encounters the cross become a carrier of the cross. A narrow way. He carried the cross. The cross did something with him, and it became a witness, a testimony. Fulfill what God. So we encounter the cross, then we carry the cross so that other people can also receive the benefit of the cross. He was disciple of the Father and made disciples. And those disciples, when they experienced the cross, they made disciples. There is no gospel, there is no power outside of the cross. That's why Paul in Revelation, in the revelation God gave to him, he says, if you want to put it up again, let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:17. Look at what he said in 17, and then 1 Corinthians 1:17-18. I want you to read what he said there. He says, if for Christ sent me not to just baptize, but to preach the gospel. Everybody say good news. What is the good news? Not with the wisdom of man, not just making noise. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? No effect. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, because we've experienced it. If you come out of the pits of hell, you know it was the cross. You know you've tasted it. That's why without the cross, you can't be a witness. Unless you don't know where you came out from. But unto us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. So what is this power? Jesus told them, he says, now the cross has been activated. Go to Jerusalem and wait. And don't move until you receive what? Power. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you. My brothers and sisters, if you have the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I cannot release this power until I die, until I finish the assignment. And the moment you experience that cross, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. What is the Holy Spirit? The same power that came upon Jesus after he was being baptized by John. And that power gave him the ability to be a witness for the Father. And that power, as he was leaving, he says, I have all the power. And that power is in the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Ghost, is the power of God. When I leave, I will send him. The Father will send him, will release him. And when that power comes upon you, you become a witness. My brothers and sisters, Jesus said, from the moment they received that power from the upper room, they became witnesses of Christ.
The people that were timid, broken, afraid, could not come out, when that power came through the cross, they became witnesses for Christ. Witnesses. They became eyewitnesses because of that power. Paul has been a religious man for a long time. When he experienced this power, God gave him revelation. And in the book of Romans, he says, Romans 8, he says, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So, though what the Lord is bringing us to is, when Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth belongs to me, if you have the Holy Ghost, that power is inside of us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He says that power raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. What are we looking for? But it's a process that causes us by faith to let this power become evident. If you have the Holy Ghost, is the all power in heaven and earth is in you. That's the Holy Ghost. It's inside of us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from is in me, is in you. You shall receive power, that power, when you receive the Holy Ghost. So, to understand how to operate this power, to yield to it, to let it work, we have to understand the mystery of the cross. Because Jesus says, the preaching of the cross is the power of God, is the good news. So what is the cross? Because if the preaching of the cross is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit not making noise, what is the cross? There's a difference from somebody telling a story of a very nice orange and just described everything about the orange, than from somebody who have really sucked the orange, licked it, chewed everything in it. He can tell you exactly what that orange does inside of it. There's a big difference between those trees you see back there looking green and those ones you see out there that looks green. One is artificial, one is real. Christianity without the cross is no foundation. It's not real. So Jesus says, when you receive this power, you have to be a witness. So let's look at briefly the cross. Because it's a mystery, we can't cover everything. We want to be taking bites at a time. So what is this cross? Hallelujah. Let's open to, you can put on 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I want you to read this with me. I want you to read it and take a note of this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he, Jesus, he had made, for he, God, had made him to be what? Sin. For us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ. He knew no sin, but God made him to become sin so that we can have his righteousness. An exchange. Let's read another one. 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I want you to see this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, spirit, soul, and body. Everything we're talking about Christ is spirit, soul, and body. He was rich, yet for your sake, for my sake, for the sake of the whole world, he became what? He became poor. That you, I, through his poverty, might be what? As power. Exchange of power. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised. That's a soulish realm. Everything that Jesus did was spirit, soul, and body. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace was laid upon him. My peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are here. So, what is the cross? The cross is a crossroad. There's one road going here, there's another road going there. Amen? If somebody is sleeping, tell them the cross is a crossroad. It's a crossroad. And the crossroad started, everybody say, by the sin, S-I-N, of one man, Adam. That's where it started. All sinned. The consequences of Adam's sin started here, from the garden. Adam has sinned, and because of sin, the blood was polluted, and that blood was defiled, and that blood was cursed. So, because of that curse, that sin, it brought everything that is a man today, that bloodline. That bloodline brought poverty, disconnection spiritually with God, soulish problems, the soul that sinner shall die. It brought human labor, the survival of the fittest by the sweat of your labor. It brought competition, it brought insecurity, it brought fear, it brought everything that you can imagine. And fear, insecurity provokes anxiety that causes sickness in the body, all kinds of pressure, and all kinds of problem came from sin, from Adam. Amen? But the Bible says in Revelation 13, the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. God knows the end from the beginning. Now, Adam's blood has been corrupted. Amen? Hallelujah! Man has fallen. But right here, I want you to take this seriously. Because I cried and cried and been crying, God, you will see it very soon. I was crying for something so bad. And God says, I can't do anything more. I've finished it. You just need to do your part. Enter into the spirit. And then I heard it in the spirit, enter into where God said, and that thing happened. Just like that, the victory came. Another situation, I'm crying, God will, and it's through that revelation I'm sharing this message with you. Right here, Satan took over. Because Adam's blood was polluted, all kinds of sicknesses, came into that bloodline. Everything came to that bloodline. Competition, insecurity, world system. Everything you see from now was that seed was planted. In that seed, everything grows. That is called the fall of man. Sin, iniquity is in that seed. The seed of that Adam has everything evil today. And the power of Satan. So Satan has been plowing the back of man and the nations all the way until it was time, until there was a crossroad. He came all the way from heaven to cross this line. He had to become flesh right here. Amen? He became flesh, came from heaven, became flesh. Right here, he intercepted the bloodline of Adam. And he went to what we call Golgotha. He was bruised, he was beaten, he carried it. And on that cross, I want you to read the scripture. I want you to put it on the screen. Colossians 2, let's read 14 to 15. Pay attention, because the victory has been already given. Amen. To every situation ever we'll go through, we enter into triumph. Colossians 2:14 says, on this cross, he says, because of this cross, it's for time. I'm breaking some scriptures. Because of this cross, he blotted out the handwriting, the sentence, the judgment of God. Everything God has decreed, the soul that sinner shall die. Everything about the cause is he that hangs on the tree. Everything about sin leading to hell. Every condemnation of man was the handwriting of God's judgment. Blotting out that handwriting of ordinances that was against us from this bloodline, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it on this cross. It finished here. Nailed it right here when he died. Verse, second verse. And having, what did he do? Having spoiled principalities and powers, that satanic forces that have been plowing this bloodline. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Listen, my brothers and sisters, all the forces of hell, he ended here. When he came to this cross, he hung on that cross. That sin was nailed on that cross. And on that cross, my Father, there's no other way out of this. He cried. He went through every agony, every pain, every consequence. God looked at him as sin. Consequence of sin, judgment of sin. Every handwriting God has established about sin was laid upon him up to death. And on this cross, he paid full price. Everybody say, paid in full. Everything. As the heaven is far from the earth, from the east and the west, so great is the mercies of God. For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son. Whomsoever will believe in him will not perish. What does that mean? He paid the full. Everything here was nailed. The sin, sickness, every consequence of sin was nailed here. Right on this cross. From the generations here before he came, He went and preached to them right here in Hades. He went and preached to them here. He spoiled principalities and powers right underneath the earth. Because his blood went all that way. He loosed them from Abraham's bosom, those that have left. And the Bible says when he rose, he took all of them with him back to heaven. From after the cross, before any man born again can make it to heaven. Before then, they were all in Abraham. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? They were in Abraham's bosom. He went, Paul says, he went to that place, preached to spoil principalities and powers, disarmed them, made an open show and said, listen, it's finished. You see this blood? It's done. And came out. In Ephesians 4, it says, he is not the only one that ascended, but first he descended and took captivity captive. He finished the work here, went down there, finished the work, spoiled principalities and powers, and came out and said, it's finished. Now, for those who were here, they did not experience the blood, he released them from there. And for the rest of us, till the end of time, the blood still speaks. As many that will live until he comes again, there's room at the cross. So he not only died for those from Adam, the Bible says, he died for those after. And went and preached, spoiled principalities and powers. And that's when he came out of that place, he preached this message for 40 days. The Bible says he was revealing himself after his restoration, before he left. And then he told them, go and wait in Jerusalem until that power comes. And then when he went, the Bible says in Philippians, he sat at the right hand of the Father, because now he released the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that worked in him to be a witness, that filled him from the childhood, the Spirit that prepared him, empowered him to be a witness for the Father. He sent that same Spirit. He said, I will not leave you as often. I will send the Holy Ghost. He will teach you, will guide you, will do everything for you. And he will go with you and be a witness. Amen? So you see this cross. Let's read another scripture here. Let's read from Romans chapter 6. I want us to read from Romans chapter 6. To 13. I want you to read with me and see what, listen to this carefully, what the revelation Paul received about the cross. Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 from verse 6. We read from verse 6. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 10 from verse 6. Romans 10 from verse 6. Let me read it to you. It says, but the righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. How many of you remember the exchange you did? We're getting to that very soon. Now, you're going to give me a few more minutes to finish this. This is very, very important. In Romans chapter 10, but when we read in Corinthians, it says there was an exchange you made, sin for righteousness. He became sin that we would become what? His righteousness. Now listen to that righteousness, what he says from verse 6. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith, not the things we do by ourselves, but the righteousness which is of faith, that righteousness we receive from Christ. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. This is what he says. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to go and bring Christ down again, to come and die again from above. Verse 7. Or, who shall descend into the deep? again. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Say, no. Verse 8. But what does that righteousness speak of? It says, the word is in your heart. It's night day. Even in thy mouth. But for the abundance of the heart, for the mouth to speak, it says, even in thy heart, in thy mouth, and in what? In thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What is the word of faith which we preach? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. That's what happened to us. Can you imagine people were in Satanism, people were in occult, or people were came from a very nice stream home, moral home, or people, just name all the testimonies of people you know that have been saved. Who can do that? How did you get saved? How did you come out of darkness to light? He says, we believed the gospel. We believed the word of God. And when we believed in our heart, we spoke it, what we believe. And today, look at who we are. That's the beginning of salvation. He said, that same principle, salvation is not you've just been born again, come out of the spirit realm, is the same principle that dismantles the strongholds of the soul and releases your capacity to enter into that place of a king and a priest. The real position for which Jesus died was for you to be like him. Not just to overcome sin, free from pornography, free from lying, free from cheating. Those are transformational processes to make you a son who he can trust to be a witness. To rule. So he says, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, you declare, you confess to the breakthrough that you're believing. Amen? And then in verse 17, he says, so then faith, because this is the righteousness that comes by faith, you believe what you don't see to be who you are. You believe the word of God as truth by faith. So it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. What we are doing today brings faith. And when you receive by faith, your eyes is open. And when your eyes is open, you believe. When you believe, you declare that that's who you are and that's what you want to be. You can only walk where your eyes can see. And until your eyes is open, you will still be going around the mountains that has already been promised you to be a victory. Now, the cross is a place of exchange. Romans is saying, don't say, let Jesus come back again and do this. Because on the cross, he says, it is what? Finished. He finished it. Done. Satan defeated. That's left to unbelievers to figure out. But as a believer, it's finished. Here, that bloodline shifted here to a new bloodline. Everything that came with this bloodline that was cursed was put on this tree. Cursed is here. Everything was nailed on this place. And guess what? A new bloodline flowing. It goes to the highest mountain, to the lowest valley. He goes to the north, to the south, to the east and the west, to the guttermost and the uppermost. To the kings, to the poorest, to the poor, to the bond, to the Jew. Every bound, every barrier has been broken by that blood. That blood was God's solution, heaven's solution for man. It all happened on the cross. Finished on that cross. It is finished. Moses had a revelation in the wilderness. When the serpent was biting the people, God said, lift up the serpent and put him on a stick, so that when people look at it, they will be healed. It was a shadow. What is the cross? Jesus is no more hanging here. I want you to understand, he's a resurrected king. The resurrection is our inheritance. It's our righteousness. The poverty was nailed here. The sickness was nailed here. Every problem was nailed here that came from that bloodline. The moment you picked up this new bloodline that came from Emmanuel's vein, from the throne of the Father, Hebrews 12, we read it every day. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The blood of sprinkling that speaks from heaven. He speaks from heaven. Revelations 12:11 says, we overcome by this blood and by the word of our testimony. This blood, I want you to know that from here, it's a new blood the moment you're born again. And that new blood carries righteousness, riches. You've inherited everything that is in Christ. Prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So, as we begin to round up, this is what I want to say, what God showed to me. When they look at this in the wilderness, they were healed. What does it mean to look at the cross? The cross. It's, Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, in this flesh I live, but it's not I that lives anymore, but Christ that lives in me. The operation of baptism, Paul received revelation to, he says we are baptized is a symbol of dying with Christ. When we come out of that baptism, it's a principle of the power of resurrection. Resurrection from what? Our old man has been canceled to exist. Our new man is now who we should operate through by faith. Until we actually begin to operate by faith, we will be walking by sight. And every time we walk by sight, this old bloodline fights against us. Our healing, it fights against our wealth, it fights against, he said the flesh and his blood, they war against who you're supposed to be now as a child of God. It's a war. The flesh, what's the flesh? The old bloodline, who you're looking on the outside, still claiming it. No, this is not a child of God. On the inside, yes. This is going to the soil. So my brothers and sisters, how does miracle happen? How does healing take place? It says faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing until it registers and it happens. You can leave this place today. You see what you're hearing now? It's not going to last a week if you don't go back and meditate on it. It's gone. Gone. You come next Sunday, God speak to us. See this thing here? What is God saying? It says every time you look at the cross is the same thing as the communion you take every Sunday. Jesus says every time you take communion or you look at the cross, it's the same thing. You put in remembrance what I've done through my blood. What are you taking communion for? To remember what? remember what I did to set you free, what I did to make you wealthy, what I did to make you righteous. Don't build upon sand, flesh. When you take communion, remember the power of my blood and my promise, my word. What I did here finished it. Amen? And that blood speaks and the word speaks. So, anytime you look at the cross, or you take communion, this is what you should be looking at. You should look at your sickness nailed here. You should look at every argument of sin nailed here. Every lie from the devil that you are this, you are that, battling with your identity and your self-image, nail it here. Your insecurity, nail it here. Condemnations, nail it here. Every time you take communion, do this in remembrance. What are you saying? You're saying, God, this is not my portion anymore. It was on the cross. It was on the cross. I must be healed. I must be made whole. I have to prosper. I have to, the word of God, because there's an exchange. I am the righteousness of God. My sin was, if you sin or do, Father, forgive me. It cleanses you from all unrighteousness and you're back to who you are when you do wrong. So the cross is a crossroad and everything was settled here. Now, God uses practical things to teach me a lot of spiritual lessons. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame. What did they overcame? Remember, it says, the devil, Satan, serpent and dragon. All the characteristics and attributes of satanic power. It says, they overcame by the blood. 2,000 years ago. By the blood of the Lamb. And by what? The word. Why? It says the accuser of the brethren. Accuser. My brothers, what is accuser? You see all those psychological depression we go through. You're dealing with demonic accusation. You're dealing with very wrong thinking that is demoralizing and accusing you. Bring it to the cross. Nail it. It's been nailed. What does it mean, nail? Anyway, let me just explain this to you for time. We can't cover everything in one day. But just remember one thing. The cross is a place of exchange. And it's already been done. But Satan has been defeated there. Everything is being done. All you have after resurrection is victory. Amen? That's why we are winners. We never fight. We fight the fight of faith. The promised land, they fought the enemy, but the promise was victory. So, a few days ago, let me start with, I used to have, a few years ago, there was a time I never had, I don't even know what sickness is, when I got saved for years. And all of a sudden, I started having this back pain and pains like that. And I prayed. To call the long story short, I've shared this testimony with you here and there. It will come, it will go. It went through even before I got married. I would say, what is this? I prayed, I did exercise, I fasted. But one of the lessons I learned from it was, I know exactly why the Bible says a messenger of hell was sent to Paul. It says to destroy pride. I would not have known how to relate to people who are believing God for a miracle. Because all I knew then was just victory, victory. until God taught me through that pain. Sometimes I couldn't wear my shirt, but just went through. I learned faith is depends on what you're going through. Patience is required. As long as you don't give up, like the widow woman, you must see your miracle. But if in the process of believing God, if you hang faith back there and stop believing, you stay the same. You must believe you will be healed. You must believe that miracle will take place. Because it must. It's a promise. But the testing is a process. And God used that to teach me deep lesson. To give compassion and understanding. And when God took it away completely, I didn't even remember where. I can't even put a time. I just found out it was gone. Gone. I used to tell Kezia all the time, this pain, it's just gone. I've tried everything that makes it come back, and it can't come back. Just wanted to make sure it's gone, and gone for good. But I learned a lot of lessons. Never look at people believing God as if, until they see their miracle, as if they don't know what they're doing. There are people in walking by faith, exercising faith every day. Give them time. Listen, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The blood. And by the word of their testimony. And they love not their life unto death. That's faith. Because of time. Because I'm holding myself to time these days. Amen. But I don't think I'll get back to this message. Because there's so much God is bringing in this season. But I was crying about people's health. I was crying about people's finances. I was crying about so many things. And the Lord reminded me when I was crying about a situation that was impossible. And what he told me. And then he reminded me, he said, son, I can't lie. I have done it. I have finished it. Teach them, train them how to receive. Like you have received. And that's what we're doing. A few weeks ago, we made a plan. You know, we're in the season of souls. So God is pushing us out there to begin with stadium kind of events. And each of the stadium events we're planning, this is Mount Zion, it costs a lot to do that. And we don't have a penny to do it. But God said, you do it. Amen? Amen? And I look back at the way he has brought us and what he's doing. I look at this testimony. I say, if God is leading us, if the cloud is not God, will do it. So the first miracle God did was he provided for the Burundi thing. Just like that, supernaturally. Then we're believing God for the Ivory Coast. But a few weeks ago, the Burundi thing was just dragging. And I went to God, I said, what is this dragging? Right here, I was sitting right here, God says, never remember, never look to man. I use men, but I'm your source. It became poor so that we can be rich. That rich is not something you access with flesh and blood. It's a wealth when the whole world is shaking, that bank never shakes. You can be looking to this man tomorrow, this man is flawed, he doesn't have money. That's the end of your faith. That thing you are believing of. If that woman dies tomorrow that is financing you, so that's your faith? God says no. When the brook dries, is the brook your faith? No, I have sources, but I have vessels, I have things I use. But the moment you take your focus as your source, when those sources dry, you dry. When the shaking comes, if the shaking is put your faith in kings and princes, then my vision stops. Amen? So God says, put your trust in me. And when he spoke that, I'm not preaching this word to tickle your faith. God says to provoke your faith. When he said that, then he told me what to do. He says, if there's ever a resistance, an obstacle, it's not flesh and blood. Deal with it in the spirit. I use what I'm about to tell you. I did it. And the next, I went home, slept. Then he says, now take an action of faith. I took an action of faith, made a text. Because I will tell you, I called, when things happen, called him and says, it's done. Immediately, it was cleared. I said, wow, these things really work. Because we look too much to the flesh. Then we came and said, okay, we're going to Ivory Coast. The cloud is taking us, nothing. We want to step out by faith and do things. I started doing the same exercise. And this is what happened. The beginning of it. How many of you know what this is? I want to use a check to describe to you how the cross works. This check, after I did what the Lord told me to do, exercise faith, we came here on Friday to pray with some people. One man from nowhere I did not expect stepped, touched me on the shoulders, and he put this in my finger, put it in my pocket. I didn't look at it until I got home. I opened it, it was $1,000. From, we just had evening, so noon prayer with the city. Never knew where to come from, how it to do. $1,000. And I want to put it towards Ivory Coast. What does this mean? Let me tell you what it means. They overcame with the blood and by the word of their testimony. Amen? Basically, what God is saying here is this. On this cross, an exchange has been established. And that exchange is, we now have been given a kingdom through this blood. And in this kingdom is a check. Amen? For you to understand it spiritually, this person's name, you can't see it from where you are, but I can see the name. It's a check. This person has the money in a bank. It belongs to him. It's just in a bank. The person gave me this check that he got with the permission of the bank to have access to that bank. Amen? Amen. And then the person wrote what, where the check should go, Mount Zion. He wrote the amount, amen, and he signed his name. In the human sense, because I know the integrity of that person, did I doubt if I go to the bank tomorrow, I won't get $1,000? No. Even before we cast this check, I already said we have $1,000. We have $1,000. I don't have to wait until I cash it. That's what it means, confess by faith. Because you believe. Before you see. If you're just confessing without believing, it doesn't work. You have to believe, Romans 10, and confess it. Because you believe, you see it. For cashing this check, is the last thing. I already believe we have $1,000. Why? Because somebody's name is there, the bank check is there, his signature is there, Southern Heritage. Go there. My brothers and sisters, that's what the cross did. God said, I have defeated everything from Satan to poverty to sickness, everything that came through that blood, through my bloodline. So the check is the blood. I have overcome by the blood. Then he says, if you ask anything that, anything according to my will, in my name, the Father will do it. In my name, silver and gold I have no, but in the name of the resurrected Christ, in my name, in my name, my blood gives you the access. Check. You, my name is there, Jesus. Man Zion, $1,000. What is that need that is not being paid for? Put it there. That's faith. You claim it by faith with the blood, the promises of God, and you use his name. And by faith, you step out. It's impossible for that bank account to fail. At the cross, where I foresaw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received, and now if you're here this morning, there is an altar call that is an altar call for the saved. There's an altar call that's an altar call for the unsaved. My brothers and sisters, Abraham started calling things that be not as though they were because he believed. And that it was imputed to him for righteousness. My brothers and sisters, this is what I do. That thing when it was hurting me, I walk in my house, in the bathroom, everywhere, I confess. If the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me, my body, you are healed. You are whole in the name of Jesus. I feel pain. I couldn't put my, sometimes I walk away, go to the car, feeling pain. But I walk through that pain, claiming that I am whole. Listen, I never thought about doubting it, because I know if I can't doubt this person's check, I can't call God a liar. I believed it, but there were some things that were against me. The pain was telling me God is a liar. Sometimes I cry, God, how can you, what kind of pain is this? I'm believing you are, what God? I don't have money in my account. I want to pay a bill. What God? How will I? And God started telling me, all you need is a transfer from my account to your account. But never doubt you serve a poor God. So I confess, Father, we are going to this trip. The money is there. You are going before us. You to be provided. I claim this, my bills, with the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, this is paid. In the name of Jesus, I claim. And I war, and I pray, and I leave it. After I have prayed several times and my heart is strong, I begin to worship the rest of the time. Whether it's a day, 2 days, 10 days, I don't see it. I just worship. And I just worship. And I just worship until it shows up, and it's never failed till today. You cannot lie to me. You cannot lie. Lion of Judah, you cannot lie to me. If you're here this morning, you've been discouraged. So discouraged because you've been waiting and trusting. Today, I want you to know, he cannot lie. He can never lie. The testing of our faith is to produce patience. Abraham said he endured patiently and he received the promise. Anything you're believing God for today, as long as you don't quit, as long as you don't give up, you will see God. He will come true. He will come true. I want you to stand up. I want to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the cross. It's the power, it's the testimony that has never failed for 2,000 years. Father, thank you for everyone in this room. Today I pray. You said faith comes by hearing. I pray that the faith that moves mountains has been imparted. I pray that faith that never gives up has been activated. I pray for that faith that fights to victory has been called back. Father, thank you for the spirit of faith. I thank you for faith. I thank you. If there is not a problem, how can there be a testimony? If there is not a need, how can you be a provider? If there is no sickness, how can you be a healer? Father, I thank you for testimonies, because faith has been released. Thank you that the cross is our victory and the blood is our receipt. Father, thank you. Thank you. I thank you for healings. I thank you for miracles. I thank you for breakthroughs. Receive it by the faith that has entered your spirit today. Arise and walk. Arise and possess your victory in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. Nothing, the loudness of pain, the loudness of time, the loudness of what we see, for we no more walk by sight, by feelings, but we stand on your very word that you are faithful. We stand on your truth that has been done, and we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you praise, and we say thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
As we take the communion today, you don't need another revelation, do you?
You now know what this is. So take it. Take it based on what you've received today on the cross. My brothers and sisters, nothing is impossible. that you're believing God for today, just remind the Lord, it has been done. It must be released unto you. It must be released. It must be released. It must be released. We receive it by faith. We believe it. We confess it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for there shall be manifestation. There shall be testimonies. Because you are not a man, you do not lie. We stand together by faith. And we say those things that we are waiting for, believing you for. Today, as we take this communion, Lord, we agree together that all things have come to pass in the name of Jesus. The blood has accomplished it. And we receive with gratitude in Jesus' name.